To Mark chapter 14, Mark the 14th chapter, verse 27 through to verse number 31. Mark. The 7th chapter. Sorry, the 14th chapter from 27 to 31. Tonight we'll be reading God's Word. We'll be looking at some scriptures. We're going old school. The Bible says, "And Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter said to him, 'Even though they all fall away, I will not.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But he said emphatically, 'If I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And they all said the same." Tonight, hearts in need of change. Hearts in need of change. It is Thursday evening, and we find ourselves in the upper room. And Jesus, predicting his death, and the fact that all the disciples will be scattered, that all would forsake him. Peter said, "No, Lord, even if everybody else fall away, I will never forsake you." Jesus replied, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." In John 18, from verse number 12, we find these words. So the band of soldiers and their captains and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Jesus is arrested, and later that evening, around midnight, he was taken to the high priest. But Peter and John are following Jesus. Because John knew the high priest, he is allowed to enter into the courtyard. But Peter is denied entrance. Look again with me. I hope you have your Bibles. So, John 18 from verse number 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door, and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servant of and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. When we put the four Gospels together, we find that this was the first occasion where Peter denied Jesus. The girl asked, "Are you one of this man's disciples?" And Peter replied, "No, I am not." I want you to note that this was the same Peter hours earlier that was willing to die for Jesus. Outside the house, in the courtyard, it was cold that night. And the Bible tells us that they made a charcoal fire and built that in the courtyard, and they were standing around. We don't know how many people were there, maybe 30, 40, it could be less. There were soldiers and servant girls running errands for them. Peter, now thinking that no one in this crowd could possibly identify him, and so he felt comfortable warming himself, rubbing shoulders with those around the fire. Look at John 18 again, verse 25. Now Simon was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ears Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you with him in the garden?" At this time, the evidence started to mount against Peter. Mark's account, chapter 14, verse 66. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him. "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. The servant girl saw him and began to say to a bystander, "This man is one of them." But again, he denied it. The third denial came. I want us to understand that sin becomes easier with practice and gets worse with time. They accused him again of being nothing but a disciple of Jesus Christ. And watch what happened. The wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong crowd. Mark tells us, after a little while, a bystander again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them. You are a Galilean." Almost saying that he was a Christian. But he began to, watch this, verse 71 of Mark 14. He began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I don't know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." Mark says he broke down and wept. Mark tells us that he began to swear and to curse. He went back to being the old Peter. Cursed words just rolled out of his mouth, and the old Peter came back to life. And at that very moment, the rooster crowed. Luke tells us in Luke 22:61, and I like what Luke says. Luke said, "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." We can only imagine what was going through Peter's mind at the time when he looked across the floor and Jesus saw him, and he saw Jesus. "Before the rooster crowed," he remembered, "crows, you will deny me three times." Matthew, Mark, and Luke recorded that Peter wept bitterly. What can we learn tonight? We note that Peter, number one, followed at a distance. Hearts in need of change. Our hearts are in need of change, of conversion, of recommitment and rededication when we find ourselves practicing distant Christianity. Peter seems to want to be close enough to Jesus so Jesus could see him, but not close enough to be recognized as a follower of Christ. We are like that sometimes, eh? I wonder how many times we compromise in our heart with distant Christianity. Peter wanted everybody to know that he was a disciple of Christ when Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Remember that? He wanted everyone to know he was a disciple of Christ when he brought back Jairus' daughter to life. He wanted to know that Jesus was his master when he fed the 5,000, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, when he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. But when the time came for him to stand up and stand apart and stand alone and stand for what is right, he didn't want to be identified with Christ. Is your heart tonight in need of change? But I hear Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up the cross, and let him follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Peter had promised. Peter pledged. He committed himself to following Jesus everywhere and anywhere. He wanted to see, or wanted Jesus rather, to see him fulfilling the promise. But at the same time, he wanted to remain unrecognizable by the crowd in the crowd. Do we ever walk with one foot in the world and one in the church? Among one crowd, we are 110% faithful, but among another crowd, we are just marginal. We are faithful at church in worship, but at work and at school and with those among those in the world, we are ashamed to be called a Christian or to be identified with Christ. Is your heart tonight in need of change? Mark 8, verse 38, the Bible tells us, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of his Father and with his holy angels." Are we known? I'm told by the Mitchell, I'll be talking to Christians, but I'm talking to everyone. Are we known for long prayers in worship, but are ashamed to be seen praying when we go to KFC? Distant Christianity is a condition of the heart that demands a change, repentance, and rededication. But let's go a little bit further. Being a disciple of Christ, there is no middle ground. You're either with him or you're against him. Denying him and confirming his deity is that there are things that are just mutually exclusive. These two attitudes cannot occupy the same heart at the same time. I want you to listen what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 30. He says, "Whoever is not with me," Whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever doesn't gather with me scatters abroad. We are either with him or against him. We are either leading men and women to Christ or we are running them off. Real Christianity is not lukewarm but zealous, hot, absolute, and totally committed. This was the same Jesus who warned the church in Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3 from verse number 14, the Bible says that these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I wonder why he started out like that. He wanted them to know that he is indeed Lord and he's in charge. He said to them in verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were hot or cold. And so then, because you are not hot, you are not cold, but you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. There's no middle ground. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, we know this well because we did it last night. So the Bible says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now we must understand that confession is not a one-time event before baptism. Eh? Confession is a lifestyle, a heart condition. It's the way we are supposed to live. Jesus Christ tonight is looking for committed hearts. God will have no rivals. Hello? On Mount Sinai, listen to what God said. On Mount Sinai, God told Israel, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 2 to verse 6. The first of the command, he says, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself any carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them and serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I am so jealous that I will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me. You have to get help to misunderstand that, eh? Well, Jesus came on the scene and he said, you shall love the Lord your God with what? All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind. He told the devil when the devil tried to tempt him, he said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall thou serve. Then he said, you cannot serve two masters at once. God will have no rival. My question to you tonight, does Jesus occupy first place in our lives? Or do we need to make a change like Peter? The next thing I want us to look at is that when we warm ourselves by the wrong fire, bad things can happen. And they usually do. It's like Murphy's Law. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 33, do not be deceived. Evil companionships, evil communication, evil company, corrupt good moral, corrupt good character. We have to be careful where we warm ourselves. Peter was not a bad person. Peter intended to be faithful. He had promised Jesus that he would follow him to the end, to go with him anywhere. And he said, I will die with you, Lord. But Peter was with the wrong crowd. And then he started to act like them. He was warming himself by the wrong fire. He was spending time with the wrong people. Peter was allowing the world to kind of force him into the mold of the world, following at a distance and trying to remain neutral, keeping the wrong company and warming yourself by the wrong fire will invite the devil into your heart and into your life, and it will give an open door to the devil. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse number 12. Let's hear Paul. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. God says that we must use our entire being for righteousness and don't allow sin to reign. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 to verse 18. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Before I go on any further, the word form in Matthew chapter 6 comes from a word that means mold or pattern. You have obeyed that mold or that pattern of doctrine that was delivered to you. And having been set free from sin, you become a servant of righteousness. In other words, the mold that we were placed in is a mold that is shaped after righteousness. And as a result, when we come out of that mold, we become righteous. Slaves of righteousness. Keeping the wrong company makes it easy to excuse ourselves from worship or the worship services. Warming ourselves by the wrong fire causes us to forget prayer at meal time. Hello. Keeping the wrong company makes it easy to lie, to gossip, to criticize. Warming by the wrong fire will influence us to participate in what is not right. Psalm 1, beginning at verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, it has been true. When it was written the first time, it is still true today. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but delights in the law of the Lord. Upon his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth fruit in its due season. His leaves shall not wither. And the Bible says, whatever he does, he shall prosper. Who are you listening to? What fire are you warming yourself? Question. Are we warming ourselves by the wrong fire? Is any of us here tonight who needs to make a change? To change the company that we keep and the words we speak? Do we need to change? What is it that is warming our hearts? The good news is, though, brethren, is that Peter's story didn't end in the courtyard. Are you with me? Peter's story didn't end in the courtyard. 3 weeks later, thereabout, Peter and other disciples were fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and they fished all night. And early the next morning, they find another fire. Are you with me? This time, it was Jesus' fire. He's on the beach, and he's fixing breakfast, and he invited them to come. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have breakfast on the beach with Jesus? John, chapter 21, from verse number 9. The Bible says, when they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter, he's in everything. Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? You see, servants must know their master. Are you with me? They don't ask, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus had some questions for Peter. See, Jesus, he will not abandon you. See, Jesus, hang around. You will get the question. And if you answer it right, your heart will be straight. Ask him some question about love. John 21 from verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lamb." He said to him the second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Three denials and three affirmations of love. Peter, at this point in time, changed his heart. And tonight, we too can change our heart. Do you have tonight a changeable heart? Jesus asked him, "Do you love me?" But if you know Jesus, we have just one word for love, you know, in our English language. And it's just love, eh? Jesus asked him, "Simon Peter, do you agape me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, me filio you." Now, agape is the unconditional. Filio is the brotherly love. Jesus asked him, "Do you love me with the love of God?" And he says, "Yes, Lord, me and your brethren." So Jesus asked him again the same thing. He says, "Yes, Lord, me and your brethren." Then Jesus asked him, "Simon Peter, do you filio me?" "Yeah, Lord, I agape you." He got the message. There are times when you have to put it another way so that they can see. Do you have a changeable heart tonight? Let's examine what is required for the changeable heart. First of all, the changeable heart are sensitive to God's providence. Peter denied Jesus three times, and then what happened? The rooster crows. Have you ever wondered why at that particular moment in time the rooster crows? The exact moment. It was God's providence at work. I am convinced, Brother Mitchell, that God intervenes in the lives of his children to call them back to their senses. He did it before. God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, the right size, at the right time, to call back Jonah to his senses. He dried up the brook for Elijah to call him back into service. He allowed the rooster to crow at the right time to bring back Peter to his senses. My question to you tonight, is God calling you? And do you see or hear God calling you? And are you closing your ears to God's providence? What is God using in your life and in mine tonight to bring us back to our senses? Are we recognizing God's divine providence? Hearts in need of change. But then we need to understand some things, that meaningful change often comes from our failures. You know, there are times when we fail, we are knocked down on our back, and we can look up so we can get up. Note carefully that it was the same night when Peter denied Christ that Judas betrayed him. See that? Judas went out and killed himself. Peter, even though he denied Jesus, he was hanging around. The Bible tells us, and this Peter, who made some mistake. And if you look in your life, you will see that you have made some mistake. I have made a whole lot. First Peter chapter 1, verse number 6 to the verse number 7. God will use things to refine us and remold us and remake us. The Bible tells us, in this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you have been grieved, or you have suffered grief of all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When you go through the fire, you're what I call a value-added Christian. You see, gold in its natural form is weak. But you have to burn away the impurities so that you have value-added gold. A Christian, when he goes through the trials and the suffering, and they come out on top, like Peter, is a value-added Christian. You are of greater worth. God changes us. He refines our hearts through fire. Through the fire of trial and temptation and tribulation. When it comes, James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Because the testing of your faith produces patience. You see, in order for patience to be produced, your faith must be tested. Then he says, let patience have its perfect work, that you also may be perfect. Go through the fire, because God is refining you and making you better than you are, adding value to your life. But we need to also understand that the changeable heart will have to have what I call godly sorrow that leads to repentance. If you are not sorrowful, you just pat your back and just go your merry way. When the eyes of Peter met Jesus, he remembered. And the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. It's not just the ordinary tears running down the face. He was ashamed. He realized that he disappointed Jesus. And the Bible says he went out and he wept bitterly. But godly sorrow always leads to repentance. You see, God tonight is searching for hearts that are always ready to repent, to change, to be converted, hearts that are ready to be restored. Brethren, I just say this. It's time for us to stop rationalizing sin. Hello? Stop blaming sin on our environment and genetics and the way we were raised. You have a choice. Hello? You have a choice. It doesn't matter where you're from. You have a choice. You don't have to become what they are. You have a choice. And so God is looking for a heart that will change. And finally tonight, the changed heart, or changed hearts, act differently. Hello. This Peter, just watch him in the courtyard. Coward. Afraid to be identified with Jesus. Thinking that, well, if I say yes, they might tie me up too, and they might just kill me. Even though I promised earlier that I'm willing to die, and I was willing to die, but I'm not ready. That kind of thing. 50 days later. Are you with me? 50 days later. On the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit came. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And the Bible tells us that people began to say, these are crazy people and they are drunk. Who stood up? Peter, the Bible says, standing up with the 11, says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It is but the third hour of the day. But what you are seeing is a fulfillment of a prophecy made by God. He continued his sermon, and when he got to verse number 36, he says, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, watch this, made this same Jesus whom you have crucified, he's both Lord and Christ." 50 days earlier, he didn't even want to be identified as a follower of Jesus. But now he's declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord. They ask him, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He told them, "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." Many other words he exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this perverse generation." Acts chapter 4. Peter preaching Jesus. Stay with me, brethren. The same courtyard that he denied him three times in, he's now before that council, the Sanhedrin council. And Acts 4 verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, "But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard.'" Peter's heart was changed. He was now declaring Jesus. Let's move on to Acts chapter 5. They were thrown in prison. They are arrested, thrown in prison, and they are beaten. And the same Peter, he started to rejoice that he was counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. The same Jesus that he denied earlier, he's now rejoicing that he's getting a beating for this Jesus. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. We find this same Peter at Cornelius' house, declaring that now he knows that God, or with God, there is no partiality. But if anyone will turn to him, God will receive them. This is the same Peter. In chapter 12, he is in prison. And history tells us that this Peter was crucified upside down because he confessed, he confirmed the name of Jesus and refused to deny him. You can be changed tonight. You can be changed tonight. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to act differently? To have different priorities? The right one. Are we willing to put things in perspective? Or will we continue to stay with the crowd, warming ourselves by the wrong fire? When they confront us and they accuse us of being with Jesus, are we going to be ashamed and say we don't know him? This Peter, who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," was now denying Jesus, the Son of God. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, God is calling. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And so you have to believe this Jesus, that God indeed sent him. Jesus himself declares that God sent him into this world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So you must believe. And willing to change your heart, your mind, your attitude, your direction by repenting. We dealt last night extensively with confession, that you must be willing to confess Christ. And that confession is a legal binding oath. It's not just words we say, but it's a declaration of what the heart believes. And you must be baptized. God is not in the dry cleaning business. You have to be baptized. And that's when we start the journey
true light. In the soul, the light is a low iron control. After making disciples, teach them to observe all things that I command you, and lo, I am with you always. Verse 9. If you have been called by me, like Peter was called, and you have been saved, you have been denying him by your last time. You have been denying him by the time you have seen him, what you gave him in the conversation, the activity. If you are deciding that you are the type of time from those around you, Jesus is asking for you to go. Oh, say, Lord, we are very much. Yet, Lord, I love you with the love of God. This is time to have the first. And that all we have is the first. There are always living in the spirit. In the now. No time at the time. Today is the day of the Lord. But the man said, Spirit, do you want to be inside? Your heart, the change. If you are not prepared, we are on the land.